Good morning, everyone. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary, to those who are joining us online. Last Thursday afternoon, I had the pleasure of visiting the new care home, Rose Lee Court Care Home, which is situated near to the church here. And I was delighted to learn that a lot of the residents there join us through the live stream on a Sunday morning. And so a very warm welcome to all the residents and the carers at Rose Lee Court Care Home. Every blessing on you. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 104. Hymn 104, The Lord of Heaven Confess. Let us pray. Loving God, we gather in Jesus' name. In your presence we bow our heads. Acknowledging your greatness, we lift up our hearts. Responding to your goodness, we offer our praise. Gracious God, as we worship you, we thank you for the gift of life, for the love of family and friends, for the opportunities of this new day, and for the fellowship we share with all your people throughout the world. Lord God, in Jesus you revealed your glory. Through him you triumphed over sin and death. And because of him we have life everlasting. Forgive us for failing to recognize the extent of your love. Pardon us for taking your kindness for granted. Forgive us for putting our own needs before the needs of others. Loving God, thank you for the promise that where two or three gather together in Jesus' name, he will be there in the midst. Let us experience anew his presence this day. Let us hear him as he speaks to us. And let us respond by gladly offering all that we are and all that we have in loving service. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. And together as the one people, we say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. There'll be a further time of fellowship in the parish halls following the service this morning. Please do come along and join us for tea or coffee and a biscuit. Today marks the beginning of Christian Aid Week. Envelopes are available this morning. If you didn't get one when you came into the church, then there'll be envelopes in both vestibules as you leave. And the envelopes can be filled and returned to the church either next Sunday or the following Sunday. It's also possible to donate to Christian Aid online. Just go to Christian Aid's own website and you'll be able to donate through that. I'll be a commissioner to the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, which will meet in Edinburgh from this coming Saturday until the following Thursday. The service next Sunday will be conducted by the Reverend Paul Sewell, who many of you will remember as minister at one time of the North Church here in Stirling. And if you've got a really good memory, you'll remember that he was interim moderator here before my own induction many years ago. At a recent meeting of ministers and elders when we were discussing the future of the church and patterns of ministry, one minister said, well, the average length of a ministry today in a charge is 7 years. So we here at St. Ninian's Old are bucking the trend. I do ask you to remember the General Assembly in your prayers. This is a very challenging time for the whole church, so we pray God's blessing on all commissioners and on the moderator. I want you to imagine you're away from home, and you've been away from home for some time. What are you looking forward to returning to? What is your favourite thing about home? Yes. Yes. Your own bed. Absolutely. Isn't it lovely when you've been away, even if you've had a great holiday, there's something really nice about going back home and into your own bed. Yes. Anything else? Yes, Ewan.
My hot tub.
Your hot tub. My goodness me. There you are. You like to come back to your hot tub. Well done. It's nice to have some luxuries at home, isn't it? Oh, that's super. Anything else? What about your own chair? I love just getting back home, sitting in my own chair. There's nothing like it. And what about mince? Mince and potatoes. You know, because if you're away and you've been eating lots of different exotic food, it's lovely to come back to something wholesome and comforting. It's interesting that no one has mentioned that your favourite thing about home is the roof or the walls. And yet these things are very important, aren't they? But we take them for granted. And yet without a roof, without the walls, we wouldn't be able to have our favourite things. I want to tell you a very short story about a young girl called Zaza. And Zaza lives in Haiti. And some years ago, there was a terrible hurricane in Haiti. And Zaza and her family knew that their home wouldn't be able to withstand the hurricane. And so they left their home and they went off to a shelter. And in the shelter, they were safe. But then, when the hurricane passed, they were able to return home. But they discovered, to their horror, that the hurricane had blown the roof off their home. But they had to live in that home for some 5 months. That must have been awful altogether. Well, Christian Aid, which is an organisation committed to helping those who are in need in poorer parts of the world, went and helped Zaza and her family. They put on a new and a better and a stronger roof. And because of that, Zaza and her family now live without being afraid. They know that they'll be safe, that even if another hurricane comes, as it probably will, they don't need to be anxious. Jesus said, we are to love one another as he loves us. That means we are to continue his work in the world today. And one way in which we can do that is to support organisations like Christian Aid. And of this we can be sure, whatever we give, no matter how small it may be, it will make a difference and it will help people like Zaza and her family. And by giving, it will also show that we are followers of Jesus. I hope we will all be able to support the work of Christian Aid. Our next hymn is hymn 544, a very challenging hymn, one that challenges us to think about helping those who are in need. When I needed a neighbour, were you there?
The first lesson this morning is taken from Acts, chapter 11, verses 19 to 30. It can be found at page 112 on the Pew Bible. That's Acts, chapter 11, beginning at verse 19. Meanwhile, those who had been scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen made their way to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, bringing the message to Jews only and to no others. But there were some natives of Cyprus and Cyrene among them, and these, when they arrived at Antioch, began to speak to Gentiles as well, telling them the good news of the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a great many became believers and turned to the Lord. The news reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the divine grace at work, he rejoiced and encouraged them all to hold fast to the Lord with resolute hearts. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and large numbers were won over to the Lord. He then went off to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year the two of them lived in fellowship with the church there and gave instruction to large numbers. It was in Antioch that the disciples first got the name of Christians. During this period, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, Agabus by name, was inspired to stand up and predict a severe and worldwide famine, which in fact occurred in the reign of Claudius. So the disciples agreed to make a contribution, each according to his means, for the relief of their fellow Christians in Judea. This they did, and sent it off to the elders, entrusting it to Barnabas and Saul. And the second lesson is taken from St. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. It can be found in the Pew Bible at page 93. That's John's Gospel, chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him now. My children, I am to be with you for a little longer. Then you will look for me, and as I told the Jews, I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. If there is this love among you, then everyone will know that you are my disciples." Amen.
Thank you, Joyce. For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies. Hymn 181.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in the lead up to your betrayal and arrest, you commanded your disciples to love one another. May this love be evident in our lives and in your church, and may it motivate us that serving you gladly and reaching out to others, the world may know that we are yours. Gracious God, you challenge us to look beyond ourselves and to embrace all people. In this Christian Aid Week, we pray for those in the world who are less fortunate than we are, those who are hungry, those who lack shelter, those who suffer from disease, those forced to flee as refugees, leaving possessions, livelihoods, and everything they hold dear. We think too of those denied a basic education, of those in need of medical supplies, and of all who are afraid to speak out lest they put their lives at risk. Lord God, strengthen all who, like Christian Aid, strive to help those in need. And let us play our part, that poverty and hunger may be alleviated, justice be done, and the cry of our neighbour be heard and answered in word and in action. Gracious God, we commend to you the forthcoming General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. Bless the moderator designate Ian Greenshields, Assembly officials, and all commissioners. May your love be evident in the discussions and deliberations that will take place. And at this challenging time for the Church, anoint every congregation of your people with a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that we may look forward with hope, be inspired by the example of those who have run the race before us, and believe that as you have graciously guided us in the past, so you will continue to guide us in the present and in the future. These things we humbly ask and pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour, the great King and Head of the Church. Amen. We sing the hymn 259, hymn 259, Beauty for Brokenness, Hope for Despair. I think that must be one of the finest of the more modern hymns. Lovely, challenging words and very fine tune as well. What is it that marks us out as Christians? Is it the fact that we attend church? Is it the fact that we believe certain things? Is it the fact that we read the Bible? Is it our knowledge of God? These things are certainly important. But can we say that any one of them alone marks us out as Christians? I think the reading from the book of Acts is a help in answering our question. It refers to a time when the followers of Jesus were being persecuted and scattered, and yet amidst it all, they continued to spread the good news. And it was having observed them and how they lived and treated one another that the people of Antioch gave the followers of Jesus a nickname. And it was a nickname that stuck. They called them Christians. Nicknames. Sometimes they can be very apt, can't they? Sometimes they can sum up a person's character or features. Some will like the nickname that they have, and others will be less than keen. I've got a good friend of many years standing, Johnny, but he doesn't like to be called Johnny. And he'll often say to me, if I call him Johnny, Gaz, call me Corky. The first followers of Jesus were given a contemptuous nickname. It wasn't bestowed on them as a compliment in any way. But these first Christians took it and they made it known to all the world. What was it about how the first Christians lived and treated one another that marked them out as different? It was their selfless love, their concern for others, which was evident through their sharing of what they had. To put it succinctly, the first Christians were living their lives after the pattern of Jesus. And it was evident for all to see. Christian means these Christ folk. People looking at them saw something of Christ himself. There's a challenge here, isn't there? When people look at us, do they see something of Christ himself? That's a challenge. And the challenge increases when we turn to today's gospel reading. Jesus is having the Last Supper with the disciples, and we are told that after Judas had gone out, Jesus spoke. We might have expected Jesus to say something about what Judas was about to do and how awful a thing it was. But no. Instead, Jesus spoke about his work, his mission. And he prepared the disciples for what was to come. And then he said to them, I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. And he continued, if there is this love among you, well, everyone will know that you are my disciples. A new commandment. It was not a suggestion or an idea or a possibility for them to think about. It was a commandment. Family resemblances can be uncanny at times, can't they? It amazes me how certain characteristics and mannerisms and even the way certain people walk can be replicated down through the generations. So much so that sometimes you're in no doubt as to what family a particular individual belongs to. I remember a few months ago being in a bereaved home, and as I observed the young lad whose father had died, it was his father that I saw. It really was quite amazing how similar his features were to his father and the mannerism. Love, selfless love, this is to be evident in the followers of Jesus. And it is through such love that others will know whose family we belong to. By saying what he did at the Last Supper, Jesus raised the bar. People were only too aware of the well-established teaching. Love one another. But here, Jesus said something more. We are to love as he has loved us. And that is one mighty qualification. What does that entail? Well, to find the answer, I think we can reflect on Jesus' life and ministry. Throughout the Gospels, we read accounts of him healing the sick, feeding the hungry, comforting the sad, and helping those unable to help themselves. We read of him coming to the aid of a newlywed couple and sparing them embarrassment when the wine ran out. What is more, there are accounts of him spending time with people who others would do anything to avoid. His whole life and ministry was one of selfless love. He gave of himself wholeheartedly and sacrificially in the service of others. Someone has said, Christian love is not how you feel. It is what you do for another without conditions and limitations in the way and manner of Jesus. Jane Haining was a Scottish missionary for the Church of Scotland who went to Hungary in 1932. After the outbreak of the Second World War, the Church of Scotland advised her to come home, but she decided to stay in Hungary. Seeking to love as Christ had loved her, she helped young Hungarian Jews during the Nazi occupation. And as a result, she was incarcerated and died in Auschwitz. In all probability, we will never be called to give of ourselves like that. But her example and that of many others can surely inspire us as we endeavour to show Christ's love in our lives, day in and day out. Google, where would we be without it? It has become an automatic turn to if we wish to find something out. What date is Easter 2023? I couldn't tell you. But if I Google it, it will tell me straight away. Well, the other day, I turned to Google, and I put in the search engine, three ways to show God's love to others. And this is the answer I got. We can show God's love by being generous, by encouraging, and with acts of kindness. Firstly, by being generous with our time, our talents, and yes, our money. In that reading from the book of Acts, we are told that on hearing of a famine in Judea, the Christians in Antioch held a collection, and they gave what they could to help those who were suffering as a result of the famine. As we have observed, today marks the beginning of Christian Aid Week, a week when we have the opportunity to give in order to relieve the suffering of people in the world today. And the need is great. COVID-19, conflict, and the climate crisis are pushing more of our global neighbours into a struggle for survival. There are many lands where drought has led to widespread hunger. By giving from what we have to support our brothers and sisters who are suffering so much, we show Christ's love in action. By challenging the structures and systems that favour the rich and powerful over the poor and marginalised, we demonstrate the love that Jesus has for us. We can show God's love by being generous. Secondly, we can show God's love by encouraging others. Isn't it wonderful when someone says something to you that encourages you? If you're starting out on something new, and someone says, without really thinking, oh, that'll not work, that's doomed to fail. There's so many like that, aren't they? Prophets of doom and gloom. We can do without them. But if someone says, you know, I think this is worth a try, give it your best shot, what a difference it can make. It can spur you on and make you give of your best. And if it does fail, At least you will have tried. Barnabas, about whom we read in the book of Acts, was known as the son of encouragement. It was his great joy to encourage others. What a way for us to show God's love. We show God's love by being generous, by encouraging, and with acts of kindness. Going out of one's way to help someone else, getting messages for someone who can't get to the shop, taking someone to the hospital for an appointment, checking on someone who lives on their own, these are not big acts in the great scheme of things, but how much they can mean to those on the receiving end of one's kindness. You'll have been hearing and reading about Deborah James, the podcaster. We've been hearing and reading about her quite a bit in these last few days. In recent years, she's spoken openly about her journey with cancer, and now her life here on earth is drawing towards its close. Last week, she was conferred a dame, and it was Prince William, a fine young man, who visited her at her parents' home on Friday. Deborah wrote on Instagram yesterday, "It's quite surreal having a royal pop in at home. And yes, you can imagine the cleaning antics and preparation went off scale altogether. But it was all irrelevant because William was so kind. William was so kind and generous with his time and put us all at ease. Isn't that wonderful? How happy the Queen must be, now quite frail, to see her grandson act the way he does. May God bless him and the royal family. Jesus loved, and his love revealed itself in action. Love was and is his default setting. He loved without thinking of the cost. His motivation was to help people and to lead them to God. I wonder, what is our motivation? Do we help because we really want to? Or because we think there may be something in it for us? Do we give because we care, or in the hope that our act of generosity will result in us being well thought of? It has been said true Christian love does not ask, "What is in this for me?" but "What more can I do for you?" Jesus never thought of himself. His one desire was to give his all for those he loved. And didn't he prove that upon the cross? What I find amazing and reassuring in equal measure is that Jesus was prepared to give his all, even his life, whilst knowing only too well what his disciples were like. It is said that we never really know people until we have lived with them. When we meet only occasionally, we tend to see others at their best. But when we spend lengthy amounts of time in other people's company, we find out their moods, their irritabilities, and their weaknesses. Jesus had lived with his disciples day in and day out for 3 years. He knew all that there was to know about them. And still he loved them. And that is how it is to be with us. We are to love not only those with whom we live and know well. We are to love all people, even those we find hard to stomach, and those who differ from us in their outlook or lifestyle. It was John Wesley who said, "Though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike? May we not be of one heart, though we are not of one opinion? As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. If you have this love among you, then everyone will know you are my disciples." It's a big ask, isn't it? And while we may not fully succeed, we can surely try. I remember a wise old Highland gentleman whose daily prayer was always the same. "O God, make me more like Jesus." What is it that marks us out as Christians? There is a song, the refrain of which answers that question. And they'll know that we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know that we are Christians by our love. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I remind you of the fellowship tea in the parish halls at the close of the service. It would be good to see you there if you have time to come along. The closing hymn, a great hymn, hymn 519, "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling." Go forth and show the love of Christ in your daily lives, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you this day and even forevermore.